The Precinct Omega Weekly Podcast is supported by Horizon Wars Zero Dark, sci-fi skirmish war games in a fallen earth. Visit Wargame Vault at wargamevault.com and search for Zero Dark.
It's Friday, the 1st of January, 2021. Let's hear a cheer. We've got 2020 out of the way. My name is Roby Jenkins, and this week, rather than the news, we have a review of the year in tabletop wargames.
Stand by for incoming intelligence.
The news over the last 2 weeks has basically been 99% Christmas sales, so I thought it wasn't worth dwelling on it. As 2020 draws to a juddering halt, this was the time, I thought, to dedicate the last episode of the year to a review of the significant events of 2020, why I think they're important, or possibly less important than they might seem. And when I say significant events, I mean obviously within our tabletop wargames industry. The year started badly for Fantasy Flight Games, with layoffs resulting in the closure of both Fantasy Flight Interactive and their RPG development team. The former is particularly interesting in the light of my recent look at the future of tabletop and digital hybridization. But my conversation 2 weeks ago with Thomas Rawlings of Auroch Digital makes me think that this is a field that will grow best in the hands of companies dedicated to it. Games Workshop has entirely outsourced the development of digital products and would expect them to do largely the same with any emerging hybrids. Whether FFG's parent Asmodee Games thinks the same, we'll see in due course. The bidding of their RPG team is harder to interpret. Almost 12 months later, and the future of the FFG RPG properties remains unclear, but with no new material published since March, it feels like the Star Wars RPG, Legend of Five Rings RPG, and the Genesis system have all been abandoned, with no plans to outsource development to freelancers or apparently to sublicense future development to another company. And of course, in November, Asmodee announced the shift of development of the Star Wars miniatures games away from FFG to Atomic Mass Games, the subsidiary set up to develop the Marvel Crisis Protocol miniatures game, resulting in yet more layoffs at FFG. Speculation that Asmodee were preparing for a sale or looking to consolidate their many developer brands seems to have been premature, but it certainly feels like they are seeking to ensure that each of their brands has a clear and identifiable style of product, with FFG being their home for living card games and the more complex, content-driven style of board game. Whether further rationalisation is on the cards for 2021 remains to be seen. However, with the impact of COVID-19 on a massive resurgence of interest in roleplay games playable over group video chat, Asmodee may have shot themselves in the foot to ditch roleplay games entirely, as they seem to have done. And speaking of COVID-19, it's perhaps unsurprising that the significant industry releases were fairly thin on the ground for most of 2020. But there were a couple of important ones. Warhammer 40,000 9th Edition launched on schedule in July as GW's major release for the year, and Infinity 4th Edition came from Corvus Belli in October. But it's hard to know whether either of these constitute significant events for the industry as a whole. Games Workshop, of course, is locked into a cycle of perpetual new additions on a schedule that seems more linked to a desire to sustain share prices than it is related to delivering innovative content or fine-tuning an established mechanical system. That's not to say, of course, that their design team doesn't use new additions as an opportunity to address historical issues or to respond to player feedback, but it's hard not to see new editions of Warhammer 40,000 as a classic example of change for change's sake. Infinity's 4th edition can't be said to suffer from this to anything like the same extent as 40k, and there's no question that the latest edition was an attempt by Corvus Belli to streamline a game that was becoming increasingly cumbersome and inaccessible for new players. But one has to ask whether, despite this positive step forward, CB is also being drawn into an inescapable cycle of new additions as a tool to draw in new players and drive new sales. Now, I can't overlook the fallen demigod of tabletop games, Privateer Press, in this roundup, because Warcaster Neo Mechanica, their sci-fi take on their own War Machine property, went to Kickstarter in February, funding at over $400,000. Then they went back to Kickstarter in October with the first expansion set for the game, pulling in another $200,000. The game and products have gone to retail and are sparingly available in the UK, but prices seem steep, and I've not seen it make an impact as yet. However, talking about indeterminate impacts, I should also mention Parabellum Wargames and the Conquest range. No, I can't bear to keep calling it CLAC, or to say its full name every time. Conquest will do. Now, I've been moderately scathing about their marketing strategy, but it does seem to be paying off. There is some evidence that their aesthetics, setting, and design are winning adherents in the European and US markets. And they finished the year with the release of a more accessible and affordable gateway to the Conquest range in their skirmish game, First Blood. 2020 is going to be a make or break year for Conquest and Parabellum. Whether they sink or swim, it will say important things about business strategy for the tabletop wargames market. August, of course, saw the arguably premature termination of Guild Ball by Steamforged Games. As far as the decision goes, you can look back at past episodes to hear my analysis, but one thing that does seem to have been significant is that GCT Studios and Bushido have been the principal beneficiary, winning hundreds of new enthusiasts looking for another competitive skirmish fantasy game with the same commitment to tight, consistent rules and a distinctive aesthetic. Bushido has been bobbing along without ever really breaking through for a number of years, but it could be that 2021 is the year that GCT Studios really starts to make an impact in the second division. The other company fighting to sustain its place in the cutthroat tier of companies that aren't Games Workshop but want to be is War Cradle Studios, the wholly owned development subsidiary of tabletop retail ogre Wayland Games. I say ogre, by the way, not as a value judgment, but on the basis that they aren't large enough to be worth calling a giant, but they're still pretty big. War Cradle announced the new starter set for Dystopian Wars just before Christmas, and there's no question that people are pretty excited about a return to the tabletop for the steampunk naval warfare game, especially given that the new kits include plastic sprues. Between their acquisition of Wild West Exodus and the development of their own Mythos skirmish game, War Cradle is seeking to outcompete Weird Games for the creation of high-end plastic miniatures kits, and Dystopian Wars was a strong performer before financial overcommitment and a strange approach to marketing by its original owner, Spartan Games, led to that company's demise. War Cradle has been struggling to make a significant impact with either WWX or Mythos, but they are banking on Dystopian Wars working to drag their other ranges up to a more prominent spot in the market. Finally, I should mention that 2020 has been the year for solo miniatures games, with every company and its dog seeking to rush out a solo rule set for their games, except Games Workshop, obviously. Independent designers with pre-existing solo games like Planet 28, Hardwired, 5 Parsecs, and of course, Zero Dark have reaped the benefit, and with many countries still enforcing various levels of social distancing, we can expect this trend to continue for the near future at least. Whether solo miniatures gaming will, post-COVID, become a more respectable pastime remains to be seen.
Intelligence logged. Analysis confirmed. Applying data.
As mentioned, this has been a good year for games with a solo play mode, but as I look across the year's events and releases and try to identify the ones that are truly significant to the industry, I'm very conscious that there are almost certainly things that have happened this year that, whilst I've probably noticed them, are going to turn out to have had a significance no one could have anticipated. There have been, as ever, umpteen new companies started, new products released, new games teased, and even new technologies unleashed. I'd like to believe that the release of Horizon War Zero Dark in March 2020 was significant. It was Precinct Omega's first independently published game, or at least the first one my company released on its own whilst having a sensible strategy and a plan to drive sales. And I hope it will continue to grow in popularity over the next 12 months as I grow the product line in new directions. But it would be unspeakably arrogant of me to pretend that Zero Dark's significance, if it exists, can already be determined. So, likewise, I have to be aware that Precinct Omega is operating right down at the 4th Division level, barely even playing in what might be considered a professional league when it comes to tabletop game designers. And the next breakthrough hit might already be out there, ready to kick my sails to Kingdom Come. A review of the last 12 months is a stark reminder to a small business owner that they are operating in a volatile and complicated market with relatively little professional analysis. Now, that lack is one of the reasons, after all, that I took this podcast in the direction that it gradually found, to have a voice that, rather than gushing over the latest cool thing, tries to take a measured and objective view at the wider significance of the new hotness. And so, to the two big releases of the year, 40K 9th and Infinity 4th. I spoke before about how 40K is basically locked by GW's business model into a perpetual cycle of cosmetic reinvention, and that Infinity, whilst not there yet, is definitely showing signs of being on the way. So, inevitably, as a designer and publisher, I have to ask myself whether I see a similar fate awaiting the Horizon Wars games, and the only answer I can give is I hope not. Now, that's not to say that I won't publish new editions of my games. I definitely will do that, in due course. As the games mature and the community grows, so the designs will need to respond to the feedback of players. Also, as my company's wherewithal and my skills as a layout editor increase, I'll want to revisit old designs and give them an aesthetic update. But I feel like a set of tabletop rules should reach a point at which they're basically fine. So much as an author of a conventional book might see it reprinted in a new edition with a new cover, the foreword or some academic or historical notations, but the book itself remains unchanged, I'd hope that with two or three editions, the rules of any Precinct Omega game become, as it were, fixed in place, so that two players can share a game whether one has the third edition or the sixth, with the only differences being new photos and new art and maybe new fiction between editions. The other question is whether I see Precinct Omega ever seeking to break through into that second tier, and the answer to that is yes, absolutely. My long-term business plans aren't something I plan to broadcast to the world, but I don't plan for Precinct Omega to only ever be me beavering away on my own. So stick around and see what comes next. Finally, this episode of Precinct Omega podcast is dedicated to the memory of Walt Langens. I never met Walt in person, but he was the founder, owner, and operator of Impudent Mortal Designs. And whilst Impudent Mortal was only one of dozens of small laser-cut scenery makers around the world, Walt stood out from the crowd for his visionary talent, his commitment to the community, and an endless stream of hilarious wargaming memes that brightened many a social media stream. Walt died suddenly in January last year with no illness and no warning. He was only 5 years older than me, in good shape, and ambitious for the future of his business. His passing is a reminder to us to treasure every moment, every roll of the dice, every opponent across the table. Normally when I finish an episode I roll straight into the music, but this week there will be a moment to remember Walt and everyone who didn't make it to the end of 2020 with us. I'll speak to you again next week.
The Precinct Omega Game Design Podcast is supported by our patrons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Precinct Omega to help us continue developing new games and creating hobby content for wargames enthusiasts all over the world.